It is the Blaze. It is episode 25 for Warner Rentals, and the madness just continues this season. There are no quiet weeks. Something always happening around this team, and we're here to chronicle it all, talk about it, and just profile this Memorial Cup hosting season. It's madness, I tell you. We go back to Wednesday at the Sandman Center. Hey, have a night, Matthew Semenoff.
Matthew Semenoff has just ripped his fork up the night home, right off the faceoff. It is a seven-point game for Matthew Semenoff.
Yeah, he wasn't done. He wasn't done there. 8 points on the evening and nearly a Blazer record. Only three WHL players in the internet era have pulled that off. Ty Smith did it in 2020. Peter Schaefer back in the 90s. An 11-1 Blazer win Wednesday. Royals, by the way, that was their worst loss in franchise history. We have a lot to get to this week. We'll talk more about that game, another 3-0 week, but we have a great guest this week. 1994 Memorial Cup champion goaltender Steve Passmore will stop by and tell stories like it was yesterday. Don't miss our look back on the 94 title run in Laval. We have some candid stuff that is all coming up in our feature interview. We'll play a new game later on in the show. We'll call it I Don't Want to Say I Told You So, but we'll work that into buying and selling. We'll take your questions a little bit later in fan mail. We do not have a moment to waste this week. Let's get into it. It's the Blaze for Warner Rentals, located in Kamloops, Princeton, Salmon Arm, Scotch Creek, and Revelstoke. Warner Rentals, providing high-quality projects with high-quality equipment. The Blaze, John Keenan Friends for Warner Rentals. Okay, let's fire it up. It's the opener for Rivershore Golf. And I'm hearing of a potential start day at Rivershore. I saw the text message. It is off the record right now, so I won't ruin any surprises. But we're talking days away. We're talking less than a week. Kevin Oates, the general manager, he is not even anywhere near us right now at the moment. He's down in, I believe he's in Cabo. He sent me a poolside pick yesterday before the game, and I sent him the middle finger emoji. So, yeah, he's just Cabo, poolside, no big deal, while we try to get our springtime going here. So stay tuned to Radio NL and The Blaze as we talk more about opening day for Rivershore Golf. All right, where are we going to go? Another perfect week for this hockey club. Seven straight wins, 18 of 19. But the week actually got started with another Blazer signing an NHL entry-level contract. Kyle Masters, Minnesota Wild. He was a fourth-round pick in 2021. He comes to the Blazers, remember, in that trade with the Red Deer Rebels. Has just a great season. And we saw it right away that, you know, he was a player. And, you know, he's the fourth Blazer to sign this season. It's just been unbelievable. And for Masters, it was a nice moment. He actually had the contract on his phone and had to showing some of the guys. We were in Everett, and he actually, Don Hay had to be a witness to the signature of the contract, which was really cool. And again, you know, for Masters, it just seemed like Kamloops and the Blazers was the right opportunity for him to come in and excel. It traded Mats Lindgren for him, and he took those minutes that Mats would have demanded here, and he turned that into an entry-level contract. So I asked Kyle just about his opportunity here in his game.
I don't know if it changed the way I play. I think it helps with more opportunity, and obviously maybe my game maybe meshed a little bit better with how the Kamloops Blazers identity kind of fit. I think that's kind of a fair thing to say, and I think it's kind of paid off both for me and the team.
Really good awareness on that point for Masters to figure that out. Second, as we speak, among WHL D-men in power play points. So it's great news, although it also means that Kyle might not be a potential 20-year-old here next season. Likely will go through the pro ranks with the Minnesota Wild, maybe in the American League in Iowa, and try to cut his teeth here. But the organization's job, Blazers' job, is to push players onto pro hockey, and they're doing a ton of that lately and this season. Also, on the weekend, Dallas had a reporter here, Dallas, Texas, from The Athletic. Saad Youssef Saad spent the week with Logan and Matt Semenoff. He wrote about it online. Now he covers the Dallas Stars. Real interesting story for Saad. He was born in Pakistan and, you know, writes nationally for The Athletic covering the Dallas Stars. And just a real good opportunity for him to come down and talk to Logan, watch a game with both players, Logan and Matt's, and just see what the development process is down here. And even though there's no affiliation between The Athletic and the Dallas Stars, it feels almost, and it's a good thing, that the Stars in so many ways are like a big brother, like a big NHL brother to the Blazer Hockey Club. But Saad joined me on an intermission on the weekend, and I asked him just about his motivation to come to Kamloops and make the trek here to check out more about Logan and Matt Semenoff.
These two guys, and especially Logan, as you can understand, there's been a lot of hype around him from Stars fans, from management. Everyone's really excited. So, you know, when I had the opportunity, I contacted Logan and asked him if he would be open to it. Obviously, the injury is unfortunate timing on that part, but, you know, I'm here for more than just, you know, a couple of games. I think Logan is going to be a pretty big part of the Stars organization for a long time, and, you know, for him to be a Kamloops homegrown player, I think it's really important part of his story that this part of his hockey chapter, is told appropriately.
And by the way, that article is available online, The Athletic. You need a subscription, though, to read it. Saad takes off. And what does Matt Semenoff do? Nearly sets a club record the next game, 8 points. And if you missed it, if you caught the broadcast, we didn't know by the time we signed off the air who the Blazer club record holder was for points in a game. No surprise, Robbie Brown put up 9 points twice in the 86-87 season. And the WHL record is 10. And 5 players have done that, but no one for a long time. We mentioned the 3 players now Matt Semenoff joins in the internet era that have picked up 8 points. All right, so also Friday night, really good chat with Everett Silvertip's associate coach Dave Struch. Dave was one of the coaches in the discussion this offseason to assist Sean Clouston. He was in the mix. He was in the mix a different few places, but he ends up in Everett with the Silvertips. And he was just glowing about the Blazers in our pregame show. And he's a guy, Dave Struch, that's been on the staff now of 2 Memorial Cup hosting teams. So he knows a thing or two about Memorial Cup hosts, the team it takes, and what that team needs to do. He was part of the Regina team back in 2018 and then in Saskatoon a few years earlier. So I asked him about what advice would he give to Kamloops and the Blazers.
You're sort of that hired guy to lead a team or be part of a team from a Memorial Cup. What would you say?
Don't take your foot off the gas. I mean, what these guys did the other night in Seattle, I went to the game, the way that they played, the way that, and I know this of Sean, and I know of Donnie Hay. I know Danny DePalma very well. I've coached with him. This staff is a remarkable staff. They're good people. Don't take your foot off the gas. Push right through. No matter what, winning or losing, try to do the right things and stay consistent, because when it comes down to that small tournament that you have at in the Memorial Cup, these little moments are all going to count.
Hey, also, he also was in person. He watched the Blazer game in Seattle last Tuesday, took in that game. He had a lot of good things to say, you know, off the record, or not so much off the record, but off tape about, you know, just what, you know, what he thought about this team, the structure they play with and without the puck. And I think he's a big fan. So we'll see if that means anything. But Dave Struch, big week ahead here. 4 games. There's 4 games between episodes of the Blaze. Kelowna twice, home and home. Our fans into Kelowna again. Stay tuned. Regan Bartel will be watching. He'll be shaking his fist from the broadcast booth. No. That's the opener for our friends at Rivershore Golf. All right, let's go on the move for Thompson Valley Charters. Thompson Valley Charters, your ticket to travel and adventure. Lovers of the open road, let's get out and explore once again. Thompson Valley Charters offering multiple bus routes to destinations across BC and Alberta. They include Edmonton. Riders enjoy the freedom of a road trip without the responsibility. Okay, Blazers back on the move Saturday to Kelowna. And yeah, 2 fan buses. 2 fan buses making the trek from Kamloops to Kelowna. And Two Booster Club buses still have a little bit of room. $65 will get you a ticket on that bus and transportation, ticket to the game. You can call Kevin if you're interested here. Time is running out, though. Again, Saturday night game to Kelowna, 778-257-6429. And, oh, there's plenty of folks coming from Kamloops Saturday. The off-ice officials at the rink in Kamloops for Blazer games, they're all planning their yearly road trip down there. They always go and cause a ruckus and all that stuff. Half the city, I feel like, is going to that game Saturday night down in the Okanagan. Okay, behave yourself, everybody, okay? Behave yourself. Blazers could very well be right back at it with Kelowna in a couple of weeks in the playoffs, too. So we'll see how that all pans out. Wanted to bring something else up, and it was the news earlier this week. Kamloops Sports Legacy Fund. That was formerly the Kamloops Blazers Sports Society. Back in 2007, the purchase price for the Blazers by River City Hockey, headed by Tom Gilardi, was purchase price approximately $7 million. And the folks in Kamloops know what this is about. For those that don't, this fund was set up then to basically, you know, build that fund through the markets, through, you know, through interest and everything else, and continue to fund local amateur sports groups in Kamloops. And it really has been the gift that keeps on giving, really, since 2007. And they just dropped $500,000 towards TRU, the TRU Wolfpack, and their High Performance Center. I asked Legacy Fund President Brennan Martin about this massive donation and just how they've been able to parlay this $7 million into something much, much more for now over 15 years.
I think that excellent asset management is how we keep it going. We have a system built in that if there's a downcline in markets, then we may have to have a downcline that year in what we give away. Perpetuity is the right word. This should last forever.
Now, I don't want to get into the whole sale of the team back in 07. I wasn't here then. Some were for, some were against, some were very vocal. There was members of the media that were vocal about, you know, if this should happen or not. But, you know, if those people could look ahead, you know, 15, 16 years ahead to where we are now and see what this fund has created for Kamloops, the tournament capital, and our nonprofit groups, from anywhere from capital projects to equipment to jerseys to $30,000 to kids sport every year in the town. And you think of that initial investment, around $7 million or whatever the number was. They've now allocated $5.4 million. In that time, the Kamloops sports nonprofits mentioned minor amateur sports groups. That's pretty remarkable. It really is. And I believe they still have the initial investment, most or all of it, there still. It's unbelievable. And got a chance to catch up with Bob Smiley. He's the longtime executive director. Used to be called the Kamloops Blazers Sports Society and now changing names. But some great stuff. So hats off to everybody with the Sports Society and the Legacy Fund on this week's announcements. That's on the move for Thompson Valley Charters. Okay, it's feature interview time. And I love our guest this week. And you'll hear the interview in moments. But it's feature interview for Mitchie the Kid at Kamloops Rammy is a vehicle for you. I saw him talking about all the deals he's closed this week. Inventory is moving at Kamloops Ram. And Mitchie the Kid will take care of you. Trucks, Jeeps, SUVs, has you covered. Kamloops Ram on the Trans-Canada Highway East Frontage Road. Steve Passmore, Memorial Cup goaltender. We get into lots here. The run to the Memorial Cup. The league title, the seven-game series with Saskatoon. A battle with the Blades. Then a game-by-game breakdown at the Memorial Cup in Laval. My conversation with Steve Passmore. And this is a guy that I've gotten to know in a little bit on maybe the banquet circuit or the coach's hot stove circuit over the years when we talk Blazer history. And he joins us here for a first time on the Blaze. Former Blazer goaltender Steve Passmore is our guest. Passy, thanks for making time for us here this week.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I got to say, the trade, you know, before the Memorial Cup season in 94, That must have been, have you ever thought about how life-changing that trade was to go from Victoria to Kamloops? How often do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I've talked about it before, and I referred to it as getting paroled. You know, for those that had watched any of the Victoria games, we weren't good. So to get out of there, I put in a lot of time, a lot of effort there, and it was nice to get rewarded to come to a team like Kamloops, and where literally I got to take a night off every night. From 55 shots a game to somewhere in the mid-20s or low-20s, and it was fantastic. And then to come up to this, you know, it was an iconic team back then, and then this fan base. It was just awesome. That's why I've never left.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's say, what are you up to now? I see you around town. I see you at the rink now and then here. What are you up to, Passy, for all the old fans that would remember you playing?
Well, I lost my hair, so those guys aren't even going to notice me and recognize me anymore. I'm bald now, but I'm a financial advisor with Sun Life, so I've got my own business. I'm engaged now, getting married here in August. Son and a stepson. Oddly enough, and this is going to be funny to the people in Kamloops that have watched, but my fiance used to work for the Blazers, and we dated back when I got traded here back 30 years ago.
Wow. So everything all comes...
I know, right?
Yeah. It all kind of ties in again, I guess, eh?
It does, for sure.
What do you remember about that? But before we get into the Memorial Cup, because we're coming up on, you know, the Blazers hosting here 28 years after hosting and winning, but that Memorial Cup was in Laval the year before. But what do you remember sort of the march up to winning that WHL title? A team that I was told that wasn't supposed to be there, wasn't supposed to be that good. Like, what do you remember?
Well, I don't know if we weren't supposed to be that good. We were good. Like, don't let anybody lie to you about that. We were good. But Portland was supposed to be better. That was the thing. We were not supposed to make it out of the West because Portland was kind of slotted in there, I think. And they were a big, tough team, and they were good, but apparently not good enough. So we had we had a hard-fought battle against them, beat them to come out of the West, and then went down to Game 7 against Saskatoon. You know, we lost Game 6 in Saskatoon 2-1. I think they scored with there's going to be somebody that's going to fact-check me, but I think they scored with 2.4 seconds left in Game 6. We came back for Game 7, and I'm just saying the game wasn't that close in Game 7, and we won in a bit of a rout to go on and win the West.
You know, I just got goosebumps when you said that, because that Game 6 in Saskatoon, I was at that game, and I was actually watching from behind you. Like, I was right over your right shoulder watching that game. And
it was off a face-off. It was a bullshit goal. That's okay. So the funny thing is, like, when people talk about the Memorial Cup and stuff like that, like, this is how much it means to junior hockey players. I went on and played 14 years pro. I remember that game.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was Norm. You and Norm Merrick.
Was it 2.4?
I want to say it was less than that. Honestly, I think it was like under a second ago. Like, there was hardly, there was nothing. But I just remember you and Norm Miracle were outstanding in that game, and that was such a goaltending battle.
It was, and you know the part that I liked even better was Game 7 when it wasn't a goaltending battle, and he got pulled after he let in 5. Sorry.
Yeah, so this seems like it was last weekend here, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel like that for you?
No, but it really doesn't. I think that's one thing that junior hockey has above all else is no matter where you go on or where life or your career takes you, it's insane that you remember that so vividly, and it is such a building block in these young men. I'm not young anymore, but these guys, like, in your lives, it is. It's etched there, man. Like, you can't take it out of there.
That's fantastic. And, yeah, you're right. You know, team comes back and wins it, and then it's off to Laval. And that was just, you know, really an all-star roster. But, you know, your coach, Don Hay, and I actually talked to him yesterday. I said, Hazer, what can you tell me about the time with Steve Passmore as a Blazer? And I didn't even get the words out, and he goes, Passy was amazing for us. He was just a wall back there. I mean, his memory is so sharp about it, too, like you're recalling this now. But to hear Hazer say that about your contribution years later, does that at all ring a bell for you?
I'm flattered that the best coach ever in junior would even remember that he coached me, for one. That's nice to hear, but I remember when they hired Hazer back here after he went back to went to Vancouver, and I'd since retired, and they came in and they asked me about Hazer, and I said, well, you know, there's one man in this world that could walk into my door, and I'm a grown ass man, and I've got my own business. And he could walk in and tell me to go through that wall, and I'd do it, no questions asked. The respect we had for that man as a coach, as a father figure, what he did for us for young men, it's really tough to put into words. He's just, I have the utmost respect for that man, and it's funny. You know, he's Hazer, but he's Mr. Hay.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. And you see him quite a bit. I know you're in the rink, or, you know, sometimes we do fan events and you're on the same panel, but do you run into him much now?
I run into him every now and then. And again, it's just the respect for him is still there. Like I said, as a grown man now, it was amazing. He had an ability to get more out of players than I think they even knew they had in them. I think he molded a lot of young men into good people, not hockey players, good people.
Let's go to the Memorial Cup now. And it was the Blazers, the host Laval, North Bay was there, and Chicoutimi. And you open up actually against the host team. It was May 15th, 1994. I'm not sure if you held on to win, but like you did in the final, which we'll talk about, but it was you against Manny Fernandez in that first Memorial Cup game. What do you remember about a 5-4 Blazer victory?
Well, I remember I didn't like Manny very much because we were both drafted in Quebec.
Yes.
And he was a third rounder, and they pulled my name out of the hat in the ninth round. I don't think they knew a position I played at that point. I think as all young junior hockey players are, he was cocky. And I met him in training camp before that, so a little bittersweet revenge when we got to face him in the Memorial Cup. And we beat him in that first game. It probably wasn't either one of our best games, but... you know, thanks to our firepower, we came out ahead.
Okay, so we'll retouch that in a second, but let's move on to the round robin. You actually posted a Memorial Cup shutout, and it was against another one of these big-name goalies from the 90s, an Eric Fichaud, and the Chicoutimi Seguin, I always struggle with it, Seguinens or something along the lines of that. And, wow, do you remember that shutout that night?
But it was 5-0, so let's not kid ourselves. I don't think it was a nail biter. but again, you know, our decor was so strong. My job was stop the first shot, and they probably cleared the rest. So it was really cool to get a shutout in the Memorial Cup. And again, I'd been playing in the WHL since I was 15. So having not only getting to the Memorial Cup, but winning it, but having that chance at the end of your career was, you didn't take it for granted. I soaked in every bit of it and really appreciated it. So I don't know that I get a whole lot of credit for the shutout, but, cause usually the D-men, like I said, I bet you, if you look back, I'm going to say there was shots in the mid 20s.
Wow.
Maybe.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, wow. That's saying something. But I wanted to point that out because Fischel was actually named the goalie of the tournament. It was one of the few awards that a Blazer didn't win. So maybe, you know, head-to-head, you shut them out. Maybe that just, you know, gives everybody picking those awards a bit of, you know, thought process on that. I don't know.
Well, I think that was the first start of the, you know, making sure everything was equal.
Right? Yes.
They wanted to make sure that, because we couldn't win all the awards, right? So they wanted to spread it around. And I think their team, if I remember, they were a bit outmatched. He had to stand on his head every night just to keep her close. And, you know, they'd gotten there. But I think even Laval, who hosted it, you know, they definitely had picked up their game more than Chicoutimi.
Okay, so you're one win away from clinching a spot in the final, going right to the final. You play North Bay, the OHL reps, and I see it as a 5-1 win. Now, I'm not familiar with the other goaltender. Sandy Allen was his name. I think that's who you matched up with in that game. But yep. What do you remember about playing North Bay sort of in a chance to book your ticket in the final?
Well, I remember North Bay because they beat us out of a $100 gift card. So Tip Top Tailors, I know this sounds dumb.
No, it's great. No, it's great.
Tip Top Tailors, right? So they have the CHL rankings. And if you finished first overall in the Tip Top rankings, I think everybody got a gift card to it. And they beat us out at the end. And so we're pissed. And we wanted to exact a little bit of revenge. And so we wanted to go out there and show them that they were not the best team in the CHL. We were. And I think one of the things that I remember most from that game is Chris Murray having one of the most amazing tilts.
Yeah.
Probably in that tournament. One of the better ones I've seen, especially you got two teenagers going at it. And it was incredible. It was just toe-to-toe, and he took care of it.
Yeah, and it's been immortalized on YouTube forever, so if anybody is interested in watching that, just Chris Murray, Memorial Cup 94, Chris Murray, North Bay would get you there. I can't think of the guy offhand that he was with.
I'm trying to think. He had a Mohawk. I can't remember.
Yeah.
No, I can't remember.
By the time you're finished answering your next question, I should know that that
answer. Get the Google going.
Yeah, I got the Google going here. But what I wanted to ask you about was the fact that you're now in the final against the host team. Now, this is the host team, and I heard that, you know, it's funny because I just listened back to some of that old broadcast, and Colin Day, who was the president of the time, was interviewed right after that game, and he said, this is good versus evil, and good came ahead with the win here today. This doesn't get any better than that. For him to have that much emotion around playing Laval in the final, there must have been some funny business going on at this tournament to make Kamloops feel maybe like, you know, like a second-class citizen, or maybe their fans were hard on you. Like, what were the games within a game there going on?
Well, I think if you go back, I think that's when, after the first game, there was an altercation in the parking lot that involved officials and team owners. Mm. The owners of Laval. You don't quote me on
okay,
this.
Okay.
But I'm right. and I think that's where there was a bit of a controversy there. And maybe that's what Colin was talking about. The fans there, they were passionate. In a shitty little rink. But I think that probably was it. I think if you look back, I think there was some sort of intimidation factor.
Yeah, well, I remember everyone always talks about how the House of Pain was on the side of the rink or inside the rink or something, right?
Yeah. It was. I don't think it was that painful, but their fans were passionate, and so was their ownership group. But we prevailed, I guess.
By the way, that North Bay tough guy, Steve McLaren, was the name on that.
McLaren.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That final, you guys get up in this game. In fact, Manny Fernandez mishandled a puck in the first period. And I don't know if you remember, you're on the other end of the ice, so maybe you don't really recall it very well, but he mishandled it and actually put it into his own net. That gave you guys the 1-0 lead and maybe the start you needed in that game.
Yeah, it gave us the momentum for sure. Probably shook him a little bit. One of the things I do remember is just going into that game and that whole year, we were never, like, even if we were down or up, we were going to win. There was no question. I'd never been involved or on a team that was just so confident, not cocky, but confident that, you know, things weren't going right or whatever. It's like, well, we're going to win in the end. We don't know how, and we don't know who is going to pull it out, but, you know, we're going to win in the end. So there, it was nice to get a start like that, but that team, our team was so strong, and the depth, from our top line down to, I guess, our quote-unquote bottom line, was just solid.
I know that, you know, you had to fight through some adversity in that game. There was a pushback from Laval, and they got within one in the third period. And I always hear the story of Don Hay calling the timeout and taking the team down the tunnel to sort of, you know, get a little bit of their attention, get out of the noise. I'm sure you didn't get down the tunnel. Maybe you did. But what do you remember about that third period and trying to hold on there?
Well, again, you're dealing with teenagers, right? So obviously, things are going to pucker and things are going to get a little bit tighter. And, you know, you're in one game for literally your whole season. It was 100-some-odd games to get there or whatever it was. And it comes down to, so when they get into a close, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think after that, we managed to come out and get one more, and I think it was Darcy Tucker that got the insurance.
You needed an empty netter from Bob Motti in the last minute to put it away.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, Bob Motti had the empty netter with 58 seconds to go.
Okay. Well, then that's, or maybe Tuck's got the...
He might have got the earlier one. Yeah, the earlier
right.
one. Yeah.
Yeah, it was... I think it was just Hazer being himself and being the dad that comes in and goes, you know, we got this, right? Hmm. Yep, we got this.
Yeah, that's great. No, that's good to hear. You know what? So much of that was about, you know, winning. And this is your 20-year-old season, so that's it. You go and you win your final game of junior hockey. But there's a lot of talk about having to host the next year, right? 95, you're back as the host. So, you know, this organization went through that run of 3 cups in 4 years. But for you, you go out on the winning note. You don't have to worry about going back and you know, hosting and being that junior team again here. But what was it like for you? Was it relief? Was it, was it just satisfaction? What was it for you, Passy?
It was a culmination of everything. I mean, like I said, my first game was when I was 15 years old in the league. There'd been some ups and downs. I've been through some, we'll call them lean years in Victoria, to get traded to, you know, such a powerhouse like Kamloops, which if I look back on my career, they were supposed to list me back when I was 13, when I got listed with Tri-Cities. And Mr. Brown, being the GM that he was, wouldn't take his scout's word for it. So I actually had to, he said, I was down at a tournament and the scout wanted to list, told him to list me. And he didn't until he could come down and see me the next day. And Tri-Cities actually listed me before he got down there. So, you know, kind of felt like I missed an opportunity to go into an amazing organization. So years later to have that come back around, and there aren't a whole lot of guys that can say they won their final junior hockey playoff championship game. And I got to say I did that. And it's, you know, like I said, I went on to play a few years after that, and it's still probably one of the biggest moments in my career and my life.
Yeah. Well, only one team can say that, right? Unless you're out of the playoffs altogether and you're 20 points out and you win your final game of the regular season. But not often does that happen. And the thing is, and you still, you wear that for the rest of your life. Like every time you go in town, you know, Steve Passmore, Memorial Cup champion.
Absolutely. And we, you know, we had the organization, we'll use the Royal We, you know, had a really good run there. I don't know that people that have never, or that maybe aren't junior fans, you talk to somebody and it's like, ah, we won, you know, 3 out of 4 years. People that, you know, they're like, well, the Islanders did 4 and 4. And it's like, yeah, that's nowhere near the same thing. In junior hockey, when you look at a 2 year turnover, where you can go from the best to the worst in the league, it's, they say a lot of records will never be broken. I think there's three guys that have three cups off the same team.
Yes.
That I'm going to say that's not going to be beat.
Yeah, that's incredible. It really is incredible for sure. This has been a great catch up here, and just like that, we're out of time on this, but I'm happy that you're in Kamloops and you're a great resource to recap this, and you recap it like it was, as we mentioned, last weekend, and the fire's still there, and I love hearing that passion, and it's something, you know, hopefully this edition of the Blazers can aspire to and have these memories and have sort of this legacy that they can carry on, you know, in their careers and in their life moving forward when they get married and have kids like you have too as well, Steve. So great job on this, and thanks for being our guest in the Blaze. You were an excellent guest here this week.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And, you know, if you ever need some time filler, let me know.
Okay, will do. Hey, Steve Passmore, what a good conversation, and what a good guy. One of the first sort of alumni that I met, and it just so happens that, one of the first Blazer games I was ever at, the first Blazer game I was ever at when I lived in Saskatchewan was at Sask Place in Saskatoon. It was game 6. So it's crazy how that works. Don Hay was the coach, you know, that team. You know, Scott Ferguson was on that team, was an assistant coach later. And I just think that's a real cool, you know, perspective from Steve Passmore, and always has lots to say. So let's go now around the CHL. Oh, that's a little bit of controversy this week. Around the CHL, Hydra Power Wash, mobile pressure washing services, servicing the BC interior, specializing in heavy equipment and fleet washing, moss removal from roofs, roof washing, house washes, and offering exterior window cleaning. Time for some spring cleaning. Let's get those windows washed. Do that house wash with the hot water for an efficient clean. And I'm sure Christopher is busy now, but you can book with him. Find out more info, what they do, what they offer, their prices. Email info@hydrapowerwash.ca. Text or call Christopher 250-851-1072. Get a better idea of what they're all about on Facebook. Hydra Power Wash. And I know there's folks out there that would like to Hydra Power Wash the CHL Top 10 this week. Blast it into oblivion. More on that in a second. But we're talking about the Kamloops Blazers and where they're at this week in the CHL Top 10. Still at number 8. Still after 18 of 19 victories, now 7 straight. But at the time of the latest rankings, 6 straight wins and 17 of 18. Is it affecting the players? Do they pay attention? Well, I asked Caden Bankier about it, who, by the way, is red hot right now. Points in, 14 straight games, 6 the other night. I asked if they're paying attention to it.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Thought we've been playing some pretty good hockey, maybe to generate enough to move up. But, you know, we just look at it. We don't really focus too much on where we are or how it shapes down. We know that we're a good team and that maybe we should be higher on that. And we're probably better than some teams, but I think it's doesn't really faze us too much.
So, not really, but maybe a little bit. Gatineau is on a roll. Number 1 in the queue, 18 straight wins. Longest winning streak going in the CHL. Number 1. Okay, I get it. 18 straight wins. Respect that. 44 wins. Same as the Blazers overall. But in a power ranking situation, you win 18 straight games. You go to number 1. Seattle Thunderbirds down 1 after their loss to Kamloops. It was in a shootout. So I think that is somewhat factored in. They then went and won two more home games, and they have 50 wins. There's no debating Seattle. There's no debating the roster and the team. They are the top team in the WHL, 50 wins. Winnipeg Ice, actually number three, despite having 52 wins. They don't move. So Seattle, Winnipeg, 2-3. And Winnipeg's been playing with fire a little bit. They were trailing Edmonton this past week, but they still found a way to win in overtime. But they're holding their own, 52 wins, still the number one overall team in the WHL. And there was a little bit of a battle between Seattle and Winnipeg for the WHL's version of the President's Cup. Winnipeg has the inside track right now, but they cannot afford to really drop any games here down the stretch. Then we get into a solid group of Quebec teams. And this is where I'm like, okay, where do the Blazers factor in here? Why are we talking eighth? Well, Sherbrooke, their streak of 15-0-1, unbeaten in 16 in regulation, ended last week. It ended 44-13-3-2. Sherbrooke is four. You can say, okay, well, they lost. Yeah, I know. Halifax at number five. Just being steady, just winning. 45 wins. The Mooseheads, we've talked a lot about them. We had Gareth McDonald on the show. It's a good team. They're steady. They're winning. None of these Q teams up top are really losing. But the Remparts lost. They're at number six. Quebec Remparts. They had a 3-3 and lost once in the three games. Then you factor in your first OHL team all the way at number seven, the Ottawa 67s. They lost last week, too. Number one OHL team, though, the top-rated team, 46 wins, 12 regulation losses. And then there you are, the Kamloops Blazers at number eight. We talk about what they've done here. Six straight wins, blowing out opponents. All this without Logan Stankoven and Dalen Kiefler. Great game with Seattle. I thought that was a big builder for the Blazers to say, hey, we can play with this superpower. You know, the Blazers showed they can play with a superpower. They were well prepped for that game and played well. And didn't dip their toe in the water, went right at them. And I thought played a really good game. But still hanging around at number eight. Sarnia Sting. OHL, number nine. 10-0-1 in their last nine games. And then really backloading the OHL teams to make sure everybody, every league is well represented. North Bay Battalion check in at number 10. All right, so, hey, I don't know. Does it mean anything to you? Does it rattle you? It seems like Blazer fans are all in the comment section on CHL on Facebook or on Twitter saying, like, hey, what gives? Where's the respect? Frankly, I think it's good. I think the Blazers, where they're at, is a mini motivator, right? Underdog your way into things. It's around the CHL for Hydra Power Wash. Okay, let's do some buying and selling now for Kyle Panasek at Royal LePage Westwind Realty. Kamloops, trusted real estate services you can count on. And it sounds like maybe those interest rates could be coming down shortly in the next, maybe the next period. And who knows if that starts to spark more buying and selling out there. Kyle Panasek at Westwind Royal LePage Realty can take care of you. All right, so here we go. I wanted to get back to Victoria. Coming off that Blazer 11-1. That was Victoria's worst loss in franchise history, according to Cleve Deanshaw of the Victoria Times columnist. And here's where we're going to play a game called, I'm not going to say I told you so, but, okay. But, Royals were mathematically eliminated this past weekend. Spokane actually stayed alive longer mathematically than Victoria. Yet the Royals, their management, pushed for a playoff spot. Thought this team had it in them to make the playoffs. They didn't unload any of their veteran players, even when that phone was ringing. And it rang likely a lot. Now, they added pieces throughout the year. Jake Poole, fantastic campaign, 29 goals. Alex Thacker, they added from Lethbridge. Albeit small prices for these pieces. But let's take you back. Victoria, hell-bent on making the playoffs. The Blaze said that simply wasn't happening. The day was December 8th, 2022, episode 12 of The Blaze. It was a simpler time.
just an overall thought. When was the last time in the conference we already knew the eight playoff teams, the eight teams that'll make it and the two that will not? It is early December, and we know already in the West that Spokane and Victoria will miss the playoffs. Already double-digit points back of a playoff spot for 8th and 9th, between 8th and 9th. Those eight teams, they might as well offer up playoff ticket packages already. Might as well print your playoff tickets. It's not going to change anything. Get an early jump. Like, it's over. It's over already. And it's like the Vince Carter meme. You know when he was in the slam dunk contest and he did that move and he looks at the camera and he kind of uses his hands and kind of sloughs them sideways and goes, "It's over." That's what this is like. It's over.
Okay, so there it was. Over 2 months ago. Like, the math didn't add up. I am not a math whiz. I don't even think I have a 30-level math from high school. Algebra kicked my ass. Like, X equals can't figure this out. But it was clear. Like, the analytics of everything, of that working out to make the playoffs, the chances were like 5%. And that was episode 12. So how did a team like the Royals, that likes to think outside the box and maybe do things a little bit different, try to be smarter than their opposition, how did they not see it either? How do you miss that? Cleve Deanshaw, just talked about him, Victoria Times columnist. He's been nearly biting his tongue in some of these post-game recaps. I see him in the media scrums, and he's kind of like looking, all right, okay, whatever. He's been at it a long time, and he spelled it out this week in the paper. And I quote from his article, "GM Coach Price has been heavily criticized for not trading veterans Taryn Fizer, Bailey Peach last season, and Gannon LaRocque this season in exchange for WHL draft picks to build for the future. The result has been the combination of no future selections gained, coupled with no playoffs for two consecutive seasons. That is a deadly combination where teams need to get one of those two things out of a season," end quote. And that really says it all. And I don't really get the management side of that. 23 wins last year, missed the playoffs. 15 this year. And the stubbornness to not realize that. Like, the math was staring in the face. X equals not going to make it. And right now they're like 18 points back. And I think when I was doing that piece in episode 12, they were 10 or 12 points back. It was double digits. I remember that. Might have been 10 or 12. So, not going to say I told you so. That's my buying and selling. Rapid fire buying and selling. Well, I guess we'll sell the CHL top 10 this week, right? That's popular. That placed the people this week. Sell it.
Sell, sell, sell.
Selling anyone who refers to themselves as their own personal nickname. No offense to personal friends. No offense. But be wary of that, okay? If I'm like, hey, it's Keener. How you doing? Yeah, run away. I'm selling the Blazers' final week of the regular season. Four games, two trips. That's a tough one. Four games, Seattle, PG, PG. Hottest teams going right now. It's going to be a tough final week. And I'm buying Blazer playoff tickets, like everybody, Monday morning on sale at 9 a.m. Buying and selling for Kyle Patisek, West Wind, Royal LePage, Kamloops.
You've got mail.
Okay, let's get back to fan mail for the Mattress King. Voted number one furniture, number one mattress store in Kamloops. Stop paying retail. Come see the King at his new location, 421 Mount Paul Way across from Rona. And Aaron, Mattress King, if you want to be on the show, I think you're up next. So text me. We'll do it. We'll find a way. We'll get you on here next week. All right, taking your questions via Twitter. First question, Frazzle at Frazzle Sports, who is, do I follow Frazzle? I should follow him. He's got some good tweets. Watches the team. He's a good fan. Goes at John Keene NL Sports. He goes, "Is John Keene going to be safe at the game next week in Seattle?" That's a good question. I don't know. I think so. I mean, I think I will, but, I don't know. I don't know. I don't, probably, I will be safe. It'll be no problem. But appreciate the concern, Frazzle. Thank you. Jeff Andreas at Jeffrey underscore Andreas. In honor of Darcy Tucker's 48th birthday, back on Wednesday, where does he rank on your all-time greatest Blazer list? And also, does anyone currently on the team, players or coaches, crack the top 10? Where does Darcy Tucker rank? Again, that was not my era, so it's tough. But he's one of three players to win three Memorial Cups, part of the 92, 94, 95. And that is saying a lot. I mean, how many people can say that? So on that basis alone, I think Darcy Tucker cracks the top 10. I've never really chatted or interacted with Darcy Tucker, one of the alumni that I haven't really got to know very well. I know he was here for Hockey Day in Canada, and like we were going to do an interview, but like he had to clear it with Scotiabank or some corporate thing going on, and it was like, oh, I'm not going to wait around to see you know a handler approve an interview with Radio NL. So I bailed on it. Yeah, but yeah, based on the three Memorial Cups, good question, Jeff. That top 10 list would be something. It would be, especially now in a Memorial Cup year, we're diving deeper into the 92, 94, 95 teams and beyond. You know, the Robbie Browns, we talk about the 9 points, Greg Hoggood, all that stuff. And who on this team currently, players or coaches, would be in that top 10? Don Hay is in that top 10. Easy. Don Hay is in, he's probably in the top three. Three tours of duty with this team. You know, just, you know, the longevity of Don Hay is the all-time winningest coach in the NHL. Still up before you, I guarantee it. Working hard every day, passion for the game. There is no doubt that he's in that top 10. Don Hay for sure. And I guess the rest might be written. You know, does Logan Stankoven get there with a great final run in his final season? Wouldn't that be something too? Chris Connolly at the Cons 23. Why haven't they hung the three BC division banners? Good question. I think it's logistics. I think it has something to do with just finding an opportunity to get all the banners up there with some planning with one of those lifter trucks, or I forget what they're called. Like people call them cherry pickers, but scissor lifts. Yeah. And getting them all up there. You'll notice there's no banners right now. They all were taken down before the Scotties, and they have not been replaced. All the old school banners, players that have been honored, Blazer legends, everything. So none are up right now. Hopefully they're back soon. But that's a good question, Chris. Logistics and all that stuff. Justin Jackson, since the CHL top 10 is essentially irrelevant. Ooh. Cam is already hosting. Most of the community is already fully engaged. Is it pointless for the committee to up Kamloops and pump their tires? Is it better for the CHL to maximize the potential of the other markets to discuss? Or are they really that bad? I think, Justin, you're looking way too much into the CHL top 10 there. I don't think there's a conspiracy to promote one and all that stuff. You're way too much credit. Way too much credit. But good question. Jesse Phillips at Jesse Phil, what's your take on banning fighting? He goes, will it change the way the game is played in the WHL? Should it happen out west? There are hardly any fights anymore, especially in junior. Some people talk about the threat of having to fight being enough to ward off aggressive play. So this all stems on the QMJHL going about and banning fighting here very soon. And I guess we'll see. What does that mean? Does that mean a game misconduct? Does that mean the player's kicked out of the game if he fights? Right now, of course, the WHL is just a major penalty. You're back. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe there's, you know, aggressive suspensions for fighting like there was in Junior A. And I know we're the Western Hockey League and this is basically our DNA, but there will be a time where this comes for the WHL too. And again, all we know about, you know, injuries and brain injuries and all that stuff, I think we have taken it out to an extent already. Like you said, Jesse, we're seeing less and less of it. I think maybe it just, you know, like maybe it becomes extinct after a while. We still see it sometimes after a big hit. We saw it the other night. Ryan Hofer dropped the gloves after Harrison Bruna took a awkward hit from behind. And I don't know where it's headed, but I do think that we will see one day where if you fight, you're out of the game, kind of like a preseason rule, at the very least, maybe more. I guess if you want to ban fighting, the best way to do it is do what they've done in like in Junior B and put everybody in like a full cage. And that seems to stop all the aggressiveness with the gloves off. I don't, maybe we'll get to that point too. Like, I don't know, in this sort of a bubble wrap environment that we're living in. I don't know. Good question. But I don't, Jesse, to answer your question, I don't really have a problem with them limiting it. You know, maybe I wouldn't have said that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but I don't have a problem with them taking steps to move further away from it, if that makes sense. Warm up the bus at Warm Up the Bus 911. Who are your top five players that have played for the Blazers since you started broadcasting in Kamloops? Oh, man, that's a good question. And it's really tough to do it without recency bias of players now that we're seeing. But I would comfortably put some players in that list. And I don't go back that far. Like, I haven't been here that long with the Blazers. Like, I think it was 2010. So, Connor Ingram, always reliable in goal. Liked the way he played the game. A little bit of swagger. Yeah, he's on that list. I can't really pick one from Tim Bozon, Colin Smith, J.C. LePond. Just can't. So, they're all one. You know, the Smith, Bozon, LePond, that line. Liptober, they have to be on that list. Jermaine Lowen likely makes a top five. Just his story from where he came at 16 to how he finished and just his emotional ending. And then on this year's team, I don't know if I've seen a better defenseman than Olin Zellweger. I don't know if I have. I don't think I have. Don't think I have. So he'd be on that list. Logan Stankoven coming in at 16 to where he's at now. Hometown kid. I mean, wow. Yeah, he's on the list. And probably, and I'm hoping he's maybe not there yet, but maybe he will be, like Ryan Hofer. Like, he's a unique specimen of a player. He really is. So there's some recency bias for sure. But those are some of the names I'd throw at you there. Warm up the bus. It's fan mail. It's for the Mattress King. Okay, let's wrap up this show. We've gone over our allotted hour, I'm sure. Closing remarks for Pleasure Pools Plus. Check out their massive roster of affordable H2O, Cal, and Sundance spas for hot tub repairs, service advice. Talk to Len, Sari, and their staff today. Pleasure Pools Plus. Thank you to Len. He's on board this season. And I'm going to say, Radio NL, by the way, we're going to start blitzing our Memorial Cup packages. And again, our goal is to have a great Memorial Cup broadcast and everything around the game, Radio NL, maybe our two FM affiliates get involved as well. We really want to make it a show. We want to broadcast all the games. So we will be hitting out there in the community, looking for your support so we can make you a part of our Blazer broadcast for the Memorial Cup. It's getting real. It's getting closer. And I'm not even sure if it's really hit me yet. You know, my focus has just been broadcasting the games, trying to bring a level of excitement to the broadcast. And this team has given me all the reason and more to do that. It's been a wild ride. And I feel like we're just getting started. You know, you feel like we're just getting started, like 63 games into the season. You got the playoffs ahead. You got the Memorial Cup ahead. And I just feel like we've basically gone through a quarter of the season and the three quarters are still left here to figure all out. So stick with us, folks. Hope you've enjoyed the Blaze through 25 episodes. Tell your friends about it. Download, play, and let's have some fun here down the stretch. It's the Blaze. It's on Radio NL twice a week and wherever you subscribe to your podcast. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Enjoy the feedback. If you're at the rink, you see me, ask me a question about it, and it's great. So we're continuing to build the podcast brand and get everybody pumped up as much as I am here for what lies ahead. Folks, it's the Blaze. It's every Thursday and Sundays on Radio NL, and it's for our friends at Warner Rentals. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.